right. Well, I was just thinking there, and I told this. I can't even remember where I was preaching. It's been a while back, and I was talking about how, you know, you can misjudge people and that you can be wrong about people, and how the first time you meet people, you may think that things are one way when they really are not. And I was telling this, and I can't remember where I was at, but I was talking about how that, you know, you'll misjudge people. And I just thought about this. First time I met you, Pastor, was at Brother Jones's. And I did not know him at all. And I seen him up there playing the guitar. And I seen the way he could play the guitar. And I guess it was just jealousy, really. And I seen how he played the guitar. And then I heard him singing. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I like that fella or not. And I began to think, man, he probably thinks he's something. And then I heard him preach, and that, man, I just fanned the flame there. I said, I really don't know if I like him or not. And I still hadn't talked to him. And the first word he'd ever said to Amy, he said, where's your husband? And when he said that, she said, he's in yonder. And he introduced himself. He said, I'd like for you to come to my church and preach to my young people. I said, now that's a man of God right there. that man walks with God. So you can be wrong. You can misjudge people. Amen. You know, a lot of times most of our thought, I don't know if it is, if it was, whatever it was, I'm glad God let us meet. I know my path would not have taken the roads that we've taken had it not been for your pastor here. And I know you realize what you got, and he don't like me talking like this, but I appreciate him. And I thank the Lord for y'all and your friendship. John chapter number 6 tonight, John in chapter number 6, and... I'm not ashamed to preach it because it's so simple, because I do feel like it's what God had me to preach tonight, but it's just a little old simple something here, and I'll do what they tell you not to do in Bible college. I'll read the text and depart from it, but I do have a thought tonight out of John in chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, if you want to stand, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can stand as we read the word of the Lord here. All right. Okay. John in chapter number 6. John chapter number 6 here. And of course, this is a miracle, the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. And it's the feeding of the 5,000. And this miracle here in John chapter number 6 is one of six miracles that the Lord performed involving food. Well, thank God for that. Amen. John chapter number 6 verse 1 said, after these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves. Thank you. You can be seated. I appreciate you standing. I don't know how many messages or sermons, whatever they are, that I've preached out of John chapter number 6, and several things jump out to us, and I've preached out of this text about leftovers, and I've preached here about Jesus knows what to do. And then I had another thought about this. You know, there seems to be always somebody that's in the crowd, and it's not a bad thing, but it seems like there's always somebody in the crowd that when the first thing that is mentioned, when we talk about, and we've got them in our church, I'm sure there are people that are here this way. And a lot of times it's usually the most level-headed people of the bunch When somebody will say, well, now we need to do this with this building program, or we need to do this with this situation, or I feel like God would have us to do this. There's always somebody in the crowd that's going to say, well, now you know how much this is going to cost, don't you? And they'll begin to mathematically try to figure it up. And no doubt, that's the way that Philip was. Philip began to add in his mind. He began to say, well, now 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient to feed these 5,000. Now, I preached about, you know, probably could have been 20,000 people here. And we really don't know that. But we do know that there were 5,000 men that were here, because he said, make the men sit down. And the number of them was about 5,000. And Philip said, well, there's 5,000 people here, and there's only 5 loaves that are here. And he began to add it up and began to try to calculate it. And he said, we still, there ain't no way we're going to have enough for everybody to be fed here. And so there were 5,000 men, and they were 5 loaves. So odds were 1,000 to 1 that Jesus was going to be able to feed this crowd. I want to preach tonight on operating outside of the odds. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is not affected by odds, and he's not affected by percentages. He's not mathematically affected by anything that would ever encounter our lives. I'm glad Jesus operates outside the odds. Now, if you were here for Sunday school this morning, the preacher dealt with that, about how God specializes, how when things look bad and when things are against us and when the odds are stacked against us, I'm glad we've got a God that operates outside of the odds. Yeah, I'm convinced of this. When you can calculate it, when you can figure it out, when you can compute it, listen, you'll get the credit for it. But when it's beyond your control and you can't figure it out, you cannot mathematically make it work, that's when God will make it work. And I'm glad we've got a God that operates outside the odds. And so I've got 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 points here, 7 or 8, and y'all stay with me, all right? Where God operated outside of the odds. First place I thought about was in the book of Exodus here, when they had been delivered from Pharaoh's bondage. And here they are, and they're on the way out of Egypt, and God has promised them that land. And the Bible said in Exodus in chapter number 14 in verse number 10, see, Pharaoh had said, well, we'll let this crowd go, and God judged them, and we know there's so much preaching there, and God had judged that crowd, and God had sent those 10 plagues symbolizing the 10 gods of Egypt. We've heard all those kind of preachers like them. I don't know if that's right or not, but it sounds good. But then in Exodus in chapter number 14 and verse number 13, verse number 10, the Bible said, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now here's what they're saying. They're saying, they ain't no way that we're going to be able to get away from this. Pharaoh is after us. We've already seen what he can do. We've already felt the taskmasters. Many of these people still had the blisters on their hands and the calluses making the brick and the mortar. Many of them still had the stripes on their back from Pharaoh's taskmasters. And the Bible said in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians, which ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I see, when we get to a place where it seems like the adversary has got us cornered, and there is no way that we're going to be able to get out, and there is absolutely no way that we're going to make it through this situation, what we begin to do is we begin to say, well, we're better off without this. We're better off being without this situation. I wish this situation would go away. But I'm telling you, what God does is God brings us to a place where somebody's behind us, somebody's in front of us, somebody's beside us, and we got to have the Lord to come through for us and to make a deliverance in our life. Bible said here that the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued, went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that morning that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth against the Egyptians. Verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand. Y'all don't mind if I preach a Bible. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned his strength when the morning appeared. Verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The Bible said, in the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Thus saith the Lord, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the shore. Now I can imagine, here they are, and I mean the Red Sea is before them. Pharaoh is behind them. Pharaoh's taskmasters. Pharaoh said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make it a lot harder on them. If I can just get my hands back on them, I'm going to put them under more bondage than they've ever been. I'm going to make it rougher on them than have ever had it, if I could just get my hands on them. Well, they know that, and they know Pharaoh's behind them, and the Red Sea's in front of them. They say, how in the world are we going to get through this situation? And God brought them to a place where they could see the wonder-working hand of God. You say, I'm in a situation I do not see any way out, no way that God can do this. I know God's come through 1,522 times, but this 1,523 ain't no way God's going to be able to do it. I'm glad today, listen, if you try to figure it out, you can't do it. If you try to calculate it, you can't. But when you can't, praise God, we've got a God that can, that operates outside of the odds. Odds were they ain't no way that they're going to get through that Red Sea. Odds are Pharaoh and that crowd's going to get them again. But when they crossed through the dry land and they got to the other side, when they made it through the Red Sea, God closed up the very walls of the Red Sea and drowned the crowd that was after them. Buddy, I'm telling you, God operates outside of any odds. Hey, if you was there taking odds that day, you'd say every one of them's going to be dead. How about the only ones that was washed up was the devil and his crowd? Let me say something tonight. He's going to howl. He's going to roar. How about thank God there'll be a day where the devil's all washed up. Amen. You know, I'm talking about a miracle working God. You know, I'm reminded, I heard about this fellow one time. He was preaching on the radio, and he's an old-time preacher man, and there's a guy preaching before him, and the guy got on there and said, well, said, you've got to understand that this is a misinterpretation. This needs to be corrected out of the King James Bible, because really what happened was here, it was really not the Red Sea, but it was the Reed Sea. And it really didn't happen like this. What happened was that the people, when they got to the Reed Sea, they just happened to get there at the time that it was low tide. And during those days, the Reed Sea, during certain months of the year, would go down to ankle-deep depth. And what happened here is the people of God just happened to be there when it was ankle-deep water, and they just crossed through the Reed Sea, and all these other things are symbolical. That old man of God got up behind him in the next broadcast and said, praise God. Said, that sure was some good preaching. Everybody listened and said, what in the world's he talking about? He said, it was a greater miracle than I ever thought there was. He said, because Pharaoh and his army drowned in ankle-deep water. Buddy, I'm telling you what God can do. God can specialize. Hey, listen, when things are stacked up against us, we read things in this Bible. Hey, listen, I'm glad this thing wasn't made up just for some good entertainment. I'm glad this story here was not something that just make a good movie. This is something that really happened. And I'm telling you what he's done for the children of Israel, he'll do for his children today. What he did for Moses, he'll do for you and I. He operates outside of the odds. I'm telling you, he does. He does. I thought about Joshua. I mean, here they are, people of God, and they're about to go face the Jericho crowd. Now, I mean, you know, Jericho, a mighty city, and
read about that and how the walls of Jericho, they'd have chariot races around it. And I mean, listen, I'm talking about a mighty fortress of Jericho. But the Bible said in Joshua chapter number 5, verse 13, here the Canaanites, they're afraid. Everybody's heard about what God's doing. And God has put on the heart of those men to go there to Rahab's house. And she covers for them. And y'all can explain all that. But in Joshua chapter number 5, verse 13, it said, and it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face there and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Verse 1 said, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in and none came out. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. He said, on 6 days, one time a day, he said, I want you to go around that city. And he said, I want you to march around it. And he said in verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him. God said, on one time a day for 6 days, he said, I want you to just march around the city. Now I wonder what everybody thought. Well, this ain't making a bit of sense. Why in the world would he tell us to do this? But you know what Joshua did, the man of God? He wasn't trying to figure out what God was trying to do. He just said, God, here's what you said, and here's what we're going to do. And the people got behind him, and they just listened to the man of God, and they say, well, Joshua, you obviously know more than we do. God's obviously got his hand on you, so we're just going to follow you and do what you say. Well, here they are, and literally, they're going around in circles. I mean, if you've ever been to a place where you feel like you're just going around in circles, nothing's really making sense, nothing's really adding up. But I'm glad God already saw on down the road, and what he was going to do is he was going to manifest himself to them in an unusual way. He said, now Joshua, on the seventh day, he said, I want you to march around it 7 times, and after you get around it for number 7, he said, I want you to tell them to shout with a great shout. Verse 20 said, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Now listen, God said, here, Joshua, here's what we do. The people said, okay, Joshua, I know it don't make a lot of sense to go around and around. We ain't never done it this way, but we're going to do what you say. And then Joshua said, listen, all I want you to do is when you hear that trumpet, he said, I want you to shout with a great shout. He said, I know of you, all of y'all can't sing, and thank God for that, because it does God give everybody a song, but he didn't give everybody a tune. Amen. But everybody can shout. You say, I don't believe in all that shouting. Well, don't you say that. You believe in shouting. It's just what you were shouting about. Amen. And God said, I want you to shout with a great shout. They said, ain't going to make no sense. He said, don't matter. Here's what I said. And so they shouted with a great shout, and the walls fell flat. Now, that don't mean that the walls just heaped up with rock. They'd have never got over it. And if they was climbing over the rocks, the Jerichoans, they would have knocked them out before they ever made it over the rocks. Amen. I mean, God in the ground, I believe he literally swallowed up the walls flat, and they just walked across flat ground right into Jericho and beat the daylights out of it, just like God said that they would. Now, if you was there sitting there trying to take odds and say, how in the world are they going to chisel these walls down? How are they going to dynamite them walls down? How are they going to knock them walls down? Buddy, I'm telling you, it was God was going to take care of the walls. All God wanted them to do is take care of his word. Buddy, I'm telling you, all we got to do is trust and obey, for there's no other way. I'm glad I've got a Bible. When the walls are stacked against me, when the odds are stacked against me, I'm glad I've got some promises in this precious book. And if I follow God's man, do what the word of God says, then the walls come tumbling down. Hallelujah. God operates against the odds. I thought about then, 1 Samuel 17, about how here's a little old shepherd boy. I mean, he is somebody that nobody ever thought would be anybody, and God turned him into somebody. Amen. I mean, listen, even his daddy, Jesse, said, well, said, I do have one more boy out there, but Samuel, that can't be the man. Well, Samuel said, he ain't in here. Said, whoever you think he is, he's not him. He said, I've got one more boy out yonder. Well, God said, go get him. They went and got him, and Samuel said, that's him, and he anointed him. But this old boy, listen, you see this. David, I don't believe he was somebody that's intimidating. I don't believe he is put together. I mean, listen, he is probably somebody, about like John Henry. But what John Henry's tough. No, I may use somebody else. I'm talking about somebody that you would look at, you know, and say, well, that fella right there, I don't know if he can do it or not. Now, y'all know as well as I do. Now, I'm not saying, I'm talking about before you got saved. I'm talking before you got saved. We believe that, you know, you don't fight. We don't straighten things out that way. But you know before you got saved, you'd hear them mouthy fellas. I tell you, the ones I never was concerned about them fellas that bap, 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 bap. See, Goliath, he steps out and said, hey, well, when you gonna send me somebody out here to take me on? Well, no doubt he expected somebody big and bad. He expected some big double-jointed feller to come out there and say, well, there he is. And he kept saying, he provoked him, and he began to curse him. The Bible said in verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now, see, here's what he said. Goliath looked at him and said, boy, you don't look like me. I found this out. Them fellas that run their mouth all the time, you ain't got to worry about them. You got to watch them people like John Henry that weigh about a buck and a quarter. They'll hit you so fast you be saying y'all quit, and they won't be but one of them. Amen. Listen, you know what happened? Goliath got to looking at the boy, but he didn't look at the God of the boy. And he began looking and said, well, there ain't no way I'm going to have no problem with this boy. He said, bring it on here. He said, I'm going to feed thy the flesh to the beast of the air. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 46 said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I see Goliath, the Bible said he was a champion. That means he come from a fighting family. And David said, well, I tell you what, you might be a champion from a fighting family. He said, but I've been justified by faith, and I come with a fighting father. And he said, it ain't going to be me that takes you out. I bet it's going to be the Lord God of Israel. Hey, let me say something. Who's going to defeat our giants? It will not be us. It will not be intellect. It will not be strength and brawn on our part. It'll be God that does it. Hey, if you were out there, you would say, there's no way that giant is not going to get it. There ain't no way that giant is not going to beat that little old shepherd boy. But the shepherd boy said, you coming at me with that sword and with that spear. He said, but I'm coming to you with a Savior. Buddy, when giants shake up against us, and when the odds are against us, and when it looks like there's no way that we're going to defeat the giant, I'm glad there is a God on our side. Amen. Here's what he's saying. He said, I'm going to take the head off you, big boy. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to put you on injured reserve. He said, I'm going to put you over here and send you to have an MRI. He said, I'm going to take your head off. Here's what he said. I believe he had his mind on it the whole time. The Bible said in verse 51 of the text, said, therefore, and that's when David put his lights out through God. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now David said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish the job. You've been running your mouth long enough. Now listen, don't if you don't agree with this, please don't correct me tonight, all right? Think about this. I believe God may have sent an angel down there the day before and said, okay now, Goliath, you're going to face, and whoever it is you're going to face, you better have that sword sharp. You better make sure that sword is as sharp as it possibly can be, because you don't know who you're going to be fighting. You may fight the biggest, baddest guy in town. And he said, well, I believe you're right. And so I believe every day Goliath sharpened that sword. And I believe the day before he faced David, I believe he had it sharper than any time before. I believe God sent an angel, said, tell him hit it one more time. Tell him to sharpen it one more time. Tell him to hit that stone one more time. Tell him to make sure to hit that whetstone one more time and make sure it's real good and sharp. And David took the same sword that Goliath had sharpened to take out one of God's children, and God used that same sword to take the giant out. Buddy, I'm telling you, God can take things that the devil has sharpened and the devil has whittled on and the devil's tried to use. God can take those same things and in one instant take out the very enemy that once used to use it. Buddy, I'm telling you, God can use the negatives, and God can use the things that the adversary has used, and God can take these things and use them for his honor and his glory. You know that why? That no flesh would glory in his presence. But if we can take the credit for it, there's no way David could have took the credit. Odds are there ain't no way somebody like David is going to beat a Goliath that's over 10 feet tall. But David said, I'm not affected by the odds because God is on my side. I thought about another one, Daniel chapter number 6. I'll be done here in just a second. Daniel chapter number 6. Here is Daniel, and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to continue to pray. And with my eyes open, and I'm going to keep on steadfast to be and doing exactly what God had me to do in prayer. But I'm telling you, we've done seen how God can answer prayer and how God specializes when the odds are stacked up against us. But I'm telling you right now, when they throw Daniel into this den, the Bible didn't say he threw him in a lion's den. Because there'd been somebody said, well, that was just a lion's den, but there wasn't no lions in there. The Bible said throw him down in a den of lions. The Bible said in Daniel chapter number 6, verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. See, they put a stone on top of that den of lions, and they shut Daniel in, but they couldn't shut Daniel's God out. And see, Daniel's down there in the darkness. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if they're going to throw me in a den of lions, I mean, I'm going to get a bit concerned. I mean, especially somebody 290 business pounds. Amen. I mean, listen, you know them lions hadn't eaten in a long time. And said, throw him down there in a den of lions. And when they throwed him down there in the dark, I mean, listen, they set that seal upon him. But listen, they might have not let no light in there. I mean, they tried to make it dark. But I am reminded in the Word of God that God don't have no problem getting around in the dark. As a matter of fact, some of the greatest things that God did was in the dark. When there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." Way back in the book of Genesis, there was darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." God dwells in the thick darkness. God ain't got no problem getting around in the dark. And when they threw Daniel in there with a den of lions in the dark, I don't know, but if I'd have been down there, I'd be watching every move. I tried to be real still, but I believe, I tell you what, Daniel did some heavy duty praying. And when Daniel got thrown down there in the den of lions, it didn't shut God out. And Daniel continued, I believe, this to pray. Verse 19 said, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. No doubt the king said, I tell you what, that old boy has been faithful. They must be something to his God. I believe that king went down there and just fully expected something. Please, I believe he loved Daniel. I believe he respected Daniel. I believe he said, God, I want you to deliver this boy. And the Bible said here, he said, oh, king, live forever. He said, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, for they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, I also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. I'm telling you, the odds were there ain't no way that he's ever going to come out alive. No doubt the world's looked at us and said, there ain't no way they're going to come out of this one. I don't understand on Monday morning they still got a song. I don't understand in the morning. They still talking about Jesus. They still talking about what a service they had. They still talking about how good it is to serve the Lord. And I don't understand their sons like this and their daughters like this and their families like this. How can they have this kind of joy? I believe they're looking, and I believe they're going to see how we operate in the dark. And I tell you, when God let Daniel get down in that den of lions, he didn't send him in there by himself. And I believe Daniel, because Daniel was right and Daniel stayed faithful to God, God give those lions the locked jaw. I tell you what, they listen. They said, we ain't going to do no good to that boy. He ain't nothing but backbone anyhow. Amen. And they said, well, shut my mouth if it ain't Daniel. And they wouldn't eat him. Amen. Because God went in there and just, they may have said, man, I don't feel good. They may have said, one of y'all fellas has given me a virus. Sure as the world. I've lost my appetite. And the other one said, well, you got some. One of y'all made, Leo, did you make me sick? What are y'all boys has made me sick? I've lost my appetite. Buddy, you say you believe that? Yes. I believe God. Listen, if God can make a rooster crow right on cue, I'll get it out. Hey, if he can make a rooster crow on cue, if he can send a whale down there to swallow up a preacher, hey, listen, if he can send down a fish to swallow a piece of gold to pay the tax with, praise God, God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, in any situation. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing, amen. Nothing too hard for God. 1 Kings 17. She said, I'm going to eat one more meal and I'm going to die. This is it. Me and my boy, that's it. We're going to die. But what made the difference is this woman in 1 Kings in chapter number 17, she was right where God put her. And her worst day was just about to be her best day. Here's what made the difference. 1 Kings 17, verse number 9. Elijah, he sends a man of God down there and said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. I love that word, there. You know where God's going to take care of you? There. You know where God's going to pay your bills? He'll pay them down there. You know how God's going to put meal on your table? He'll feed you at the table that you got there. You say, where's there at? There's here with a cross in front of it. If you'll put Jesus first in your life, if you'll put God first in your life, it does not matter what it looks like. Now listen, there ain't no way I can pay my bill this month and still be able to tithe. There ain't no way. I can't do it. And you get the calculator out and you try to figure it out. And you say, I can't pay my tithes this month. If I do that, I ain't going to be able to pay my bills. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. We've got to realize that God operates outside the odds. And if you're putting God first in your life, I don't care if gravy goes to $5 a sob. I don't care if it's one cracker left in Breckenridge County. You're going to be nibbling on one corner if you'll just put God first in your life. And if you'll trust God and stay here, which is there, with the cross in front of it. Hey, listen, I'm glad he knows my address and he knows where I live and he knows what I need. And there's been times, hey, listen, we get down so low. Listen, when you get down sometimes, you ain't got two nickels rubbed together. Just walk around and say, devil, can you give me change for this 100 right here? Amen. I mean, listen, we ought not mealy mouth. Hey, listen, I get so tired of somebody saying, well, it's just so tough. It's just so bad. Hey, listen, it ain't tough and it ain't bad. Amen. We think one of our three cars is tore up. We right in the middle of the tribulation. Amen. Hey, listen, look at us. God's took care of us. God's fed us. God has been so good to us. We do have so much to thank God for. Hey, listen, if he did it before, he'll do it some more. Amen. He's not affected by the odds. See, when Jesus got here, no doubt they said, well, now, virgin birth. I don't believe that. There ain't no way that's going to be able to happen. But it happened just like the Bible said that it would. They said, well, rise from the dead. What do you mean, rise from the dead? But it happened just like Jesus said that it would. Odds are, you know, if you look at the way the situation is right now, people say, well, I've heard the Lord's coming back. Y'all said that all my life. They said, I've heard all my life. You say, Jesus is coming again. We don't believe it no more. Next time somebody says that, pat them on the head, tell them you appreciate it. Because that's how the Bible said it'd be right before he did come back. You say, well, odds are stacked against us here in America. Odds are stacked against our family. Odds are stacked against us of living a successful Christian life in the day and age in which we live. I'm glad tonight we're not affected by the odds, because we've got a God that operates outside of the odds. Now, the most important thing, you know, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All means all, and that's all means, but there's got to be a relationship. He said, but my God shall supply all your need. Odds are some of y'all was never going to be in church. Odds are, well, you know, they might be saved, but there ain't no way that they're going to be able to preach. And then they get word and say, Sunday school teacher. Preacher? Surely not. Why well, I'd have never thought that. But see, that's what God does. When the odds are stacked against us and when the world thinks there ain't no way, I like it when God throws his weight around. I mean, listen, when it looks like there's no way, and I mean when it looks like the river's uncrossable and when it looks like the mountain, you can't climb it. And when you've come to the end of yourself, you say, God, I can't, but you can. I've done everything I can do. God, I can't do it anymore. God will do what we cannot do, because God is not affected by the odds. If you know God tonight, I'm glad he's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but if he's your God, he can go through some things that the world may not think you can go through, because it's not going to be you doing it. It's going to be the power of God. For our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm glad I know God. When the odds are against me, I'm glad I've got somebody that operates outside of the odds.